These kids think that I'm Paul McCartney because I'm dead. These kids think that I'm Paul McCartney because I'm dead. What you know about it? Nothing? Okay, let's get right into it. Conjuring ganja type spirits, which are into it.
Skype going, got this garage band going. Ideally now the fucking metronome isn't gonna be clicking in my ear. Yep, we good.
Hell yeah.
I have things, but I don't feel ready for this podcast. So.
Oh dude, me either.
Just gotta freestyle it, really. I mean, that's all podcasting is. It's just freestyle talking.
How does the audio sound, Dylan?
It sounds good on my end.
Good. Good. That means my snowball is doing its job.
Nice.
Should I introduce myself?
Yeah. Who's this dude?
Yeah. Who is this guy? What's your name?
What up, y'all? My name is MC Freeman. I am a musician from Columbus, a good friend of both Devin and Dylan. I chill out on the regular. Used to write music reviews with Devin. These days, we kicking it and chilling. I make a lot of music. Devin talks about music sometimes, both on his blog and here on the podcast. I'm very happy to be on the show.
That's
what up, y'all?
True. Shout outs. We're happy to have you.
Definitely.
Yeah, so Peter's our first guest ever on the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, guest hosting for this very special
applause.
This is your 10th episode, right?
Applause.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. 10 episodes. Episode. That is 1/10 of the way towards syndication. Once you get to 100 episodes,
exactly.
You can have one episode that's played on TV schedule for every day of the year.
I think that's the law. I think they have to syndicate your show after
100 episodes. Yeah,
that's at least for television. That's usually the marker. I find with podcasts that would probably be similar because podcasting is just TV shows for your ears, for real.
Damn straight.
That's true.
Just like albums.
That's a quote. Podcasts or TV shows for your ears.
Oh yeah,
title.
This is solid.
TV title. For your ears.
Title. So who wants to go first?
Shit.
I thought we would do like some just dicking around stuff in the beginning, and then
like we're doing now.
We'll get into MC Freeman in part two.
Okay.
All right, fantastic.
What do you have for us, Dylan?
Oh shit! So remember a couple weeks? Wow, like 4 weeks ago, because we're a bi-weekly podcast. But So I was talking about how I didn't like Chapo Trap House, and I am now like a converted big fanboy of Chapo Trap House. And on their most recent episode, they opened up the episode kind of like Shock Jock Radio style, and it was fucking hilarious. They were talking about the migrant caravan coming up from like Honduras and shit, and it was like, Chapo Trap House, welcome to the show. Our fourth caller becomes a U.S. citizen that can vote 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
The reality of the situation, though. I think every week that we record this, it's just depressing.
Yeah.
Like
those voting machines in Texas? Y'all heard about that?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. The ones that are turning votes
some
from...
People were, some people were voting ticket. They were voting like all Democrat, like for Beto and everything in Texas. And then they would go to the end screen to confirm their vote, and they would find that their vote for Beto had been changed to a vote for Ted Cruz. And most people wouldn't even take a second look at that confirmation screen.
Right.
But some people were like, y'all got to point that out. And of course, they couldn't take a picture of it, you know, because that's election law violation.
Right.
But what's going on is also election law violation.
Right.
To the first degree. Like, that shit's pretty fucked up. They better do a fucking recount is all
that's
I'm saying.
Crazy.
Otherwise, because that boy Ted Cruz is a freaking imp. I don't like that guy.
Yo, 100%. He is
that boy
actually...
looks like old cheese, like Dracula made out of old cheese. That ain't so good.
Trump didn't like that guy until a couple months ago. So.
That's what I'm saying. That boy, the ultimate lapdog, getting bullied by Trump, and then like now he's his boy. Like that's like his whipping boy. Like that's so foolish. You know that's why he's about to win this clearly fixed re-election.
Exactly.
Oh,
Lion Ted.
Damn, they got Kavanaugh. They can get Lion Ted. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Damn,
fuck Brett Kavanaugh. That boy sucked.
Lion Ted is now Texas Ted, right?
Oh
yeah.
God! Please don't, please don't.
Ted.
That sounds way too cool.
Tejas
Ted.
Tejas Ted.
Y'all gotta watch out for Tejas Ted.
Oh,
right
oh,
quick.
Did you guys see the? Speaking of Ted Cruz, did you guys see how Ted Cruz is trying to like reach out to the millennials and like did like a Facebook Live thing recently?
Oh yeah, and he tried.
It was fucking awesome. And he tried to get to shoot horizontally,
oh,
but his
no.
own. had portrait mode on, I think, and so she couldn't do it, and yeah, she didn't know how to do it, and it was hilarious. So it was him and some like Republican yuppie like trying to get into a conversation about Kavanaugh, I think, and like being interrupted every 30 seconds because she was trying, like she was getting her hand in the video, and it was great.
That is so funny.
Oh man, I have to hello, I have to drop kids. This fucking image in the show notes probably. But remember when like right before like the episode we record before we went to the fairy garden for that dope ass party, and so I told you I was on this new lifestyle where I have my Apple Watch on one wrist and then my my Fitbit on the other because I got to flex on these fools.
So you're flexing on everybody. Right.
So there's an old photo from like maybe 2009, 2010 of Ted Cruz where like on his left wrist he is like some fucking Tag Heuer watch and on his right wrist he's got a goddamn Fitbit and I'm like, no.
Oh no. Oh no.
Why he iced out like and that? You're you like, cannot do that.
You're like, I'm not turning into Ted Cruz. No. Not
I
today.
I can't
not
do today. This.
No. Ted Cruz ain't have the Marlboro jacket is all I'm saying.
Yo, 100%.
He ain't look icy. Why are we looking at him?
I didn't expect us to have all this Ted Cruz knowledge and information.
Did you know that he's the Zodiac Killer?
Oh, yeah. You know, believe it or not, a friend of mine that I used to do stand-up with actually was one of the people who initially launched the Ted Cruz as the Zodiac Killer meme.
That's amazing. Yo.
Yeah, my friend Lindsay Martin, who is off and on Twitter, but can be found, I believe, at Loser Lindzetta, like Z-E-T-A. Very fire. Oh, very good Twitter. We'll probably drop that in the links with the show or something.
As long as they're name dropping funny people.
Oh yeah.
The guy I told you about a couple podcasts ago, Dylan, Jacoby Young White.
Mm-hmm.
He is now writing for the Daily Show and is a correspondent.
Yeah,
Daily
he's a correspondent. Show. Ain't that nice?
That's fucking
I knew,
crazy.
But isn't it great? Twitter comedians.
Like, I used to be on streams with that fool, and now he's doing it.
It's crazy how that works. My friend, I had somebody I knew back in college, Patty Harrison, who is also a correspondent for the Daily Show now. She's out there in New York. Really, really funny. Yeah, I don't know. It was really random. The OU like improv scene was randomly like really popping back when I got there. And then everyone like my age kind of, I don't know, not as many kids ascending to the high levels as much as these other kids are. Those kids were really about that life, though. They're all living in New York doing stand-up and whatnot. I could never do that. Shouts out to them, for real. Stand-up is so dangerous. I mean, as an art form. I can't do it.
I think both me and Peter have Saudi Arabia on our notes.
Yes, I have.
Mine is just a line that says, "What the fuck, Saudi Arabia?"
Yeah. I mean, that's all you need.
His relates to the WWE event, which is still being put on.
Yes, it is still happening.
Is it this Sunday?
No, believe it or not, tonight is WWE Evolution, which is the first ever all women's pay per view.
Okay.
Which, and you know, that's some cynical shit, right? Because here's the thing:
it's time for Dylan to tune out.
This is the wrestling angle of this whole thing, right? Okay,
let's go.
Right. So WWE and Saudi Arabia apparently signed a multi-billion-dollar contract between like Vince McMahon and like a Saudi prince. And like they have a multi-year contract with the Saudi, right? Because Linda McMahon is the Secretary of Small Business.
Exactly.
Right.
And what's the best small business of them all? The WWE.
Oh yeah. A very small business doing sold out shows everywhere. Pretend sold out shows.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
Not paying their employees right.
Because WWE is an arm of our fascist government, at least in this day and age. I mean, at least you know it's all lies, but these days the lies aren't even that convincing. Like that Kane could still wrestle. It's horse crap. Anyway,
I really like Kane though.
Oh no, Kane is. But here's the thing: Kane is now the Republican mayor in Knox County, Tennessee, and he's going to Saudi Arabia and getting a fat check. So what's up with that? He's on company time.
So the asterisk is: I like Kane as a wrestler.
That's fair. That's fair to say.
There we go.
But in any case,
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. With the death of the journalist,
Khashoggi.
Obviously, the death of Khashoggi,
Jamal Khashoggi.
There was a fair amount of debate whether or not this would continue because WWE has already done an event in Saudi Arabia this year.
Yeah, they had that 18-on-1 death match in Khashoggi Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, Jesus Christ. That's what happens, you know?
Oh, man.
That ain't kayfabe.
That's goodness that's gracious. Too soon.
I mean, hey, the fact is, like, they should have cut that crap. Because John Cena and Daniel Bryan, a.k.a. two of probably the nicest goons in all of professional wrestling, are like, yeah, we ain't gonna do that.
You could say they cut that crap for the bone right. saw.
And here's the other thing. I mean, here's the other thing too. You know, and this is what infuriates me. First ever all women's pay per view is this weekend, and then literally like next weekend or the weekend after is gonna be the all men's pay per view in Saudi Arabia. But they don't advertise that it's the all men's pay per view because there are many pay per views that are the all men's pay per view.
That's true.
So. And especially in Saudi Arabia, where they didn't even let the ladies into the country. So all I'm saying is it's pretty shady. But you know they already spent the huge check that they got. So they can't cancel the event. Otherwise, they're going to be in debt to the Saudi government. And that ain't wise.
So the women's event won't be in Saudi Arabia?
No, it will not be.
Because they wear too many skimpy outfits.
Women were just recently allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia. I think we're not quite at... Hurricane Rana's yet.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. We're not quite at Bella status yet.
Right. So what else you got here? You got some...
Well, I have, like, a bunch of just, like little things.
Yeah. Sorry, we're talking about the Fairy Garden party. Oh, what a great party that was.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness. Y'all should have been at that. That was the function right there.
That was crazy.
Well, y'all can talk about it from the outsider's perspective, but I'm happy to offer it.
I was surprised with that first act. Bunny Love?
Yeah, Bunny Love from New Hampshire.
Like, he had the, like, real, like, Sandy Alex G vibes going on.
Yeah.
If you don't know Sandy Alex G, Dylan, I think I described him to you at the party, actually, because I was like, this is him, like, real life him. Like, it's, like, weird, melodic shit, but with like a
right, like really lo-fi and scrunky.
Yeah,
messes with like the pitches of stuff. And yeah, it's really cool. I like the sound a lot.
Non-aesthetically pleasing acoustic folk rock.
Right. It's not so slick or so folk punk.
And that was basically what he was doing. And that guy's cool.
Oh yeah, his name is also Devin, I believe. But
yeah,
Dev differently.
Dev Trent.
Yeah, Dev Trent.
Friend each other on Facebook. So,
he's a nice guy. Yeah.
I actually have his card upstairs. I should bring it down after a break or
something.
Yeah,
we'll do the
shout outs and shit. We'll put the link.
That boy Dev was
so nice. after Dev was
me.
Yeah. It's Peter,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe I went up then. Yeah.
You did, and you killed it.
The new material, which we're gonna be talking about a little later in the episode. I got to do a lot of that stuff live. It was a lot of fun. Big Sig was real faded, and then kicking the PA and shutting it off in the middle of songs. It was pretty crazy. But after a while, it became like a cool thing.
I was like, why isn't Big Sig doing his verse? Oh, yeah, he probably shouldn't be doing his verse.
Oh, no, yeah, there is actually a Big Sig show coming up where he will be doing all the verses.
He will be doing his
verse. He wants to do... He doesn't like doing very much performance, but he wants to do very occasional performances. And I believe for his birthday, for 25th birthday, he's going to be doing...
Hell yeah.
Doing it real big.
Hell yeah.
That's November 11th at the Fairy Garden.
That'll be another artist that we put up.
Yes, we are working on some records with him, like his records. I don't want to go into too much detail about them, but know that Big Sig's records... are soon hitting the streets. He has a lot of singles.
What did he just put out? He just put out his rock project with Tyler has a new
that's single. Princess Whatever. Big Sig produces that,
okay.
But he is not in the band. That is Tyler Stepulski project.
Yeah,
I think that's pre-Monte
that
Michael
is,
even.
Is super creative too.
Oh yeah, no, Research is a legend.
Yeah. Okay.
Dylan, what do you got? What's been up on your mind lately?
Oh, yeah. Shit, guys. So we already touched on Saudi Arabia. We talked on this migrant caravan that's coming up. There, let's be real, probably like total, we're going to have like 200 people like at max that actually make it to like the U.S. border that aren't going to like divert into other countries or into Mexico. Mexico is a big fucking country and it may have a lot of shit going on, but it can be a lot. It's going to be accommodating to a lot of these people trying to get out of the countries that the U.S. has kind of systematically been exploiting for the last like 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Before that.
Yeah.
But like to the 200 people who are gonna probably show up at our border, and all these people think they're gonna like march across the border and like firebomb their favorite Applebee's, like I will send the party bus down to the border to pick these fools up and get them registered to vote, essentially. Like, because, right. You know, it's being treated like as this 24-hour, like, news cycle on Fox News that these people are coming to, like, behead senior citizens and, like, put them on spikes on right. the front of a golf cart that's going to be riding through the village.
Oh, no. And next thing you know, a Honduran is going to be marrying your granddaughter and...
Yeah, what are you
cutting your head off, right.
So now they're cutting your head off. They're going to have mixed babies, and they're not going to have great opportunities in
and
America.
And those kids are going to vote Democrat and go on TV racist. Before they can vote to God tell kids it. Who can vote to vote away. Because right. those kids get so mad about that.
Right.
Because you got shot at talking about it. They're like, shut up. I want to shoot you. Like, damn.
Did you guys hear what Trump said about this caravan, too? So he
called, said it was big, man.
It was very big. He called this election.
Like, ocean water.
In like the vastness of like, in terms of like what's big, it's big.
It's the biggest in terms of, in terms of size.
In terms of size, yep. Right.
All I'm saying is, I know y'all have taken like a speech class
right.
in school, and I know y'all know the one kid in class who is not prepared, but very confident that he can bullshit through it.
That was me. I was gonna say that was me
because I was really good at talking, but I didn't even try.
Yeah, because you like forget about the night before. And I was then just you like, just,
I
like, can't
do it. I'm just gonna freestyle it drunk. Yeah, exactly.
Yo, 100%.
Still drunk the night before.
Yeah. That was funny, actually. That reminds me. Last night, I got so I'm working third shift now at VPAC, which is like they do like Bath and Body Works products and yeah. like Vogue products and Victoria's Secret like. Lotions, creams, whatever.
Yeah.
So I do analytical chemistry for them, but I work third shift. And when I got off my shift, which ends at 5:30, I looked in the parking lot and there was just a can of Bud Light on the ground.
Did you drink
it? I was
it?
Like, man, these line shifters, man, the people on the lines. I don't know. Just come in. Yeah, I did not take a swig. No, it was. I think it was empty.
Oh,
but, like,
sad.
Of Bud Light. I'm like,
yeah, whatever gets you through the day.
Yeah, coming into work drunk, man. I guess so.
I mean, at least as we established last episode, you guys aren't the one they're testing on animals, so we know there's no funny business going on with the.
That's
with the
actually
bunnies.
True. I looked into it, and Bath and Body Works, which is so I can say for sure, 75% of our business, they do not test on animals. So, I don't know the rest of our business. I don't know what they've gone up to. Most of the rest of our business is Johnson & Johnson. So,
and we all know that Johnson & Johnson puts bunny heads on spikes.
Probably.
Pusha T spent 20-plus years selling Johnson & Johnson.
That's true.
He started out as a baby face
as
monster.
A baby face monster.
No wonder there's diaper rash on his conscience.
That is a great song.
Oh, it really is so good.
Nostalgia.
Nostalgia! With Kendrick Lamar?
Is a legendary
God,
song.
God! And the Quicksilver Messenger Service Slip? I think that's what that is.
Challenge, Dylan.
Digga digga, challenge.
You listen to Nostalgia right now.
Real-time follow-up openings.
Real-time follow-up.
Right.
No, actually, that song is fire. And I was actually listening to the J-Rock, Kendrick Lamar freestyle.
Oh, yeah, that's so good. The numbers on the board freestyle.
Yeah.
J-Rock just murders.
The music video for that came out a couple days ago. So,
really?
So
very nice. No wonder. It's a great song. I'm glad they released that.
Oh, we are really scattered today. But
yeah, I mean, you got to be.
I mean, you got it.
We got three elements orbiting one another.
We're going through this.
Do you mind if I make a shameless plug for a moment?
Do it. I have
a very shameless plug for a zine that I work on. It is an untitled zine, but you can usually tell it's us because it has a drawing of a wrestler on it. Usually an indie wrestler.
I will take a picture of this style. And we'll put it with the notes or whatever.
Absolutely.
Or on the pages.
I believe I can send you all some PDFs too. Yeah. But it's very esoteric. We write a lot of there's a lot of film analysis, a lot of weird like nonfiction life stuff, like research. In the first issue did like some 7 interviews. It's me, Big Vin Vader, who directed my music video,
right.
And Research Anderson, who was in the music video, starring opposite our friend Claude, who is made of wood.
Yes, that is true.
Right.
If you have not seen it out there, Paul McCartney, that's also shameless. Plug right there.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
go watch music that music video.
It's on the Peter Velarde.
What did your mom say about it?
She said it was very creepy and that she didn't like it,
which was just the best.
It is. Yes.
Endorsement.
No, yeah, and my mom is always very supportive of all the music I make. Even
she's
though
a lovely woman.
She's awfully suspicious about some of my lyrics.
Yeah.
But you know what mother wouldn't be?
Exactly.
You know, God bless her for that.
Yeah, I told you at the party that my mom was worried for your safety.
I hope Mrs. Knapp was very forgiving of my weirdness, because I had to message a couple of moms and be like, "Yo, just so y'all know, this isn't for real or anything." I was surprised people thought so. But like I said, y'all will hear about that a little later.
What else do we have, Dylan? Oh, Animal Crossing is your antidepressant.
It is. I've been playing. So I actually went out and got a Nintendo DS recently because I couldn't wait for Animal Crossing 2019. And so I've been playing the shit out of that, trying to make my town Dover beautiful. Watering flowers, giving presents to Bob. You know, just living the life. It's way better than real life.
You seen that meme where it's just like Animal Crossing was so successful because it was the millennial dream of owning a home and having friends?
Yes.
Right. And just walking around just where, like, you live and being nice to people. And
being nice to people and them being nice to you.
That sounds
and
so
having
fun.
A good time.
Yeah, too bad that ain't ever happened.
And like just like fishing and like looking. Favorite thing I like to do in Animal Crossing, looking for fossils.
Right. Oh, yeah, same. 100%.
Amazing. And looking for fossils, and then finding like stuff that's like worth like 80,000 bells and 100,000 bells. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna get paid, son. Then Nook is like, oh, you want another upgrade on your house? And I can't say no.
It's Tom Nook, right? You know, he has a way of being convincing.
Yeah, and then like all of a sudden, his like Nook's whatever becomes like this futuristic spot gas station thing.
Oh, hell yeah, gotta have the upgrades.
He owns everything. Like Tom Nook is one of the best villains of video games.
Oh, absolutely. I prefer to call him
he's
Daddy
like
Nook.
He's not outwardly villainous, but like, you know, he's just making money left and right, and he's forcing people with coercion through these deals to buy. So basically what I'm saying is Tom Nook is like he is a part of stock market crashes. Like, he is like the dude that is selling you cheap loans, like
he's the dude who
high interest, high risk loans, man. Like,
and
he
on
is
the back
the dude
end,
that
he's trading your debt.
And he's trading your debt away, and he's selling you cars for like 250-300% interest, and
he also owns the payday loan store.
Payday loan store.
Oh,
you guys know that Ohio has the worst payday loan schemes in the country.
Yeah, I believe that. I totally believe that.
It was you saw that John Oliver, right, Dylan? Where they did a whole thing about that, and then they were like, "We know this because we leased a car and got this special interest rate, but we could get the car off the lot that week," and then like the interest rate skyrocketed to like 350%, they ended up like selling, like somebody ended up buying their debt, and so they had to sell to them. It was it's all crazy, but like they paid more for what the car was worth at the end.
Oh yeah, 100%,
like
absolutely,
$27,000 for like a 1994 like Corolla or something.
It used to be the fucking meme, like any branch of the military, like if you first few years you're going to be living either in the barracks or in the dorms if you're in the Air Force on base, and so up near base they're going to pop up like these shitty used car lots that are going to sell you cars at like 30% interest rate. and all these new airmen, like, the first thing they do is they get to base. They have more money than they've ever had in their fucking life because they're most of them are, like, 17, 18. They just moved out of home. They're like, oh, man, I have money now. I'm going to get me a car because I want to fuck these Tinder girls. And goes to this place, gets a, like, 32% interest rate, 2003 V6 Mustang, and think they're hot shit. And all of a sudden, they can't pay their bills, and they married a stripper because they think it's going to get them out of the dorms faster, and that extra money is going to help them pay off all of their debt. And then they live the rest of their lives in misery.
This sounds oddly specific. I wonder if this is based on anyone that you know.
Do you have a family that we have to, that we don't know about?
Not me. The majority of other brand new, like, E2, E3.
Do you have debt that we don't know about, Dylan?
I think everybody got debt we don't know about. It's not ideal.
Oh, man.
You know who scares me in Animal Crossing? I know this is going back to Animal Crossing, but you know who really frightens me?
Mr. Rossetti
will cause your regretting.
Mr. Demon, like, Spawn himself. No,
wow.
And the best part is that he was intended by the original developer to have, like, a Brooklyn type accent, which is funny. Just him yelling at you like, "Hey!" Like, you know, that's hysterical.
First time that happened to me, I thought, like, something went wrong with my disc or something. Like, what the hell? Like,
oh, I turned off my GameCube real fucking quick because I got scared. And then he showed up again because I turned it off.
Right. He's just harassing me about what I'm doing with my video game.
No, it's so funny.
And, like, Rossetti's there to tell children the importance of, saving correctly and then logging out. Like,
it's also a bug workaround because otherwise you can exploit like repeat, like, bells.
I didn't know
stuff.
That.
It was originally in playtesting. They found that people were abusing that, like, the save state as a way to get to stock up on stuff, like items, like, with repeating frequency. So it's they really basically cool. put in Mr. Rossetti as a way to psychologically make it very difficult to do that. Which is hysterical.
That is really funny.
I also saw one of those articles online that said that Mr. Rossetti is one of the greatest characters in game history because the real villain of Animal Crossing is you.
Right.
Like, making people do things and change things, and people's timelines are getting altered and they don't understand. Rossetti is, like, trying to stop you, and you are, like, God trying to destroy him.
Oh, right. Shit. Mr. Rossetti is the 24th Doctor.
That's the real shit. If Doctor Who was just Mr. Rossetti, I would be way about him just screaming at everybody in a Brooklyn accent.
At least Mr. Rossetti
is
one of the companions.
Mr. Rossetti and the female Doctor would
Mr.
be
Rossetti,
like, a really
Jodie
fire
Whittaker
combo.
Are just like, yeah, that would be a great combination.
Yeah, I ain't no shit about
is that
Doctor
a title?
Who, but I would watch that.
Is that
for
a
sure.
title? No, it's not. That's a long title. Mr. Rossetti and Jodie Whittaker, real Doctor Who. I'm gonna just, like, speed through my shit. I don't know how far we are. It's been a fun cast.
Oh, yeah, we've been chilling.
Guys,
why don't we hyphenate? Jodie Rossetti Whittaker.
Jodie Rossetti.
Whoa.
Rossetti's name Rossetti Rossetti and they got married?
No. Rossetti's name is, I think it's established, he has a brother.
Okay.
In one of the games. I'm trying to remember exactly what his first name
down
is.
Down on your
their last name is Rossetti.
Nice.
It's a family name. I mean, it's kind of an Italian Brooklyn type name.
Rossetti, Mario, Mario, and Luigi Mario.
Exactly.
Rossetti,
yeah.
Rossetti.
I feel you. Rossetti. I mean, but his brother's like...
He's
like
chill.
Georgian.
He's chill,
yeah,
isn't he?
He's like, hey, don't worry about my brother. But it's like a psych out thing.
Yo,
know?
Don't worry about
Which
my brother.
So funny.
And then his brother comes out and he's like, hey, fuck you. Don't do that again.
It's so funny how mad he gets pretending to destroy your town. It's like...
If Rossetti, like, if they made, like, Animal Crossing mature for one reason, it would be Rossetti just fucking cursing at you.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know that
Mr. Rossetti's a real one. He's building the tunnels to get those Honduran migrants into the U.S.
That's true. And Tom Nook just being like, oh, you bought into this. What the fuck are you going to do about it?
Dylan, did you build your the reset center on the DS game?
Oh, not yet.
I was under the impression that if you reset the game,
Mr. Rossetti only shows up once in this new one, because he says the reset center is not a thing anymore. But you can build the reset center and then bring Mr. Rossetti back.
What is the reset?
That was just the building. That's just his HQ. That's where Mr. Rossetti hangs out and finds out about you not resetting your game.
Hmm. Yeah. So the big conceit of New Leaf, Animal Crossing New Leaf, is that you are you get off the train and all of a sudden you're greeted by the villagers, same as always, except they expect you to be the mayor. Next day you get a letter from the guy who's actually supposed to be the mayor. It's like, I decided not to get off at this stop. Have fun. And so you spend most of your time trying to build up your approval rating in your town. Once you do that, you can start developing, like putting them for development permits and that sort of thing. I just got my first project done. I built a new bridge because the bridge they had was really conveniently placed. And I was like, yo, I'm going to do this. But how it works is you don't have access to all of them at the jump. So depending on the different type of villager that you're talking to, they can suggest different infrastructure projects, like to build the cafe because it's not in the museum anymore, or to build the reset center. And so as soon as that pops up, I am for sure gonna save Mr. Rossetti and give him a job back in the good town of Dover, where he needs
like one. Seems like I mean the last big time I actually played Animal Crossing was original Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. But I did play 3DS, or not 3DS. I did play original DS Animal Crossing, which is pretty good. But I think I lost that cart somewhere, I went off to play Mario sometime. I was just thinking, Dylan. You know, Chicago is the largest, or has the most number of bridges of any U.S. major city.
I heard about this on Dubai Friday. Yeah,
there you go.
With the
I was listening to that last things. Night. Do you listen to that, Peter? Do you listen to podcasts
often? Not that much, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we've been trading podcast information here and there. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot. Dylan listens to a lot. So.
Oh yeah.
Kind of. I did not put into the show notes, but now that I'm thinking about podcasts, I don't know if you know Earwolf, Dylan.
No.
Earwolf Studios, but they are the studio that's behind Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, okay.
They came out with a podcast called Threedom, and it is Scott Aukerman, Paul F. Tompkins, and Lauren Lapkus.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they just all like, so Scott and Paul are basically like, were born around the same time, and Lauren's kind of older than us a little bit older than us. And so they like trade stories back and forth about their childhood and how they got into, comedy and acting and stuff like that. And it's really funny, and they always play a game at the end, but
yeah,
it's real good. A real good recommend. From me.
I would definitely put that on my list.
And also the Giant Bomb Cast, which I gush about, the website known as Giant Bomb video game website, like every other week.
Yeah.
But the Giant Bomb Cast just turned 10 years old.
Happy birthday. Which
is freaking crazy for a website.
That's awesome.
A 10-year-old website, a 10-year-old podcast, that's freaking crazy.
Oh yeah, it's really inspiring. I like to see that with various web content, like the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Nerd.
I shouted him out in the
he's
credits.
He's even more than 10 years now.
Oh yeah, that boy is a veteran. That boy changed the YouTube criticism game. All praises due.
Bombcast. So Bombcast came out with a 10-year special called "We're So Sorry." The Giant Bombcast is 10 years old, and it's like a 2.5-hour special, intermixed with staff talking about their favorite moments from Giant Bomb history, and then like some moments that the fans picked out that they put in into the podcast. So if I mean, you probably won't get a lot out of it if you're not a Giant Bomb fan already, but if you didn't know about Giant Bombcast or you just want to hear some funny stuff, give that a listen.
Hell yeah,
it's awesome. I don't know if you can get to that actually without a premium account, but
Fucking paywalls.
Whatever, man. It helps them stay afloat. So.
Oh man. I can't judge because like I am a Cox's cuck. I do send $10 every month to the good people at Dubai Friday at www.giveusyourfuckingmoney.com.
I haven't done that yet, but I do ever so often buy stuff from dftba.com.
Hell yeah.
Like McElroy merch and shit like that. So,
very nice, very nice.
I just bought something that I thought was going to be here today, but is not here today because it's Sunday.
Oh,
and
no.
My schedule's fucked up because I am Sunday, Monday off.
Oh.
So tomorrow it'll be here. And one of them is a shirt. It's a Munch Squad t-shirt.
Oh, shit.
Is awesome. And then the other one is a mug that says, please don't talk to me after I've had before I've had my podcast. So,
nice.
Yeah, I love that they did that stupid line. They did a stupid line on DFTBA where, they just put podcast on like different pieces of merch.
Sure,
and then sold it, and then like a bunch of like jokes about just like generic podcast. Like,
right.
Oh,
yeah.
Talk to me without
before
my
I've
podcast.
Had my podcast. Right.
Or
it's a bit like those MC
professional
Freeman.
Podcast. Or podcast on board for like your
right.
like stickers or whatever.
Yeah, it's a bit like those vintage memes I was trying to do to promote the mixtape.
Yeah.
Like just putting like, you know, more Dr. Smoke Blaze Runner 3049 hosted by Research Anderson than any other mixtape.
That's true.
You know, things like that. Right.
I think I have one more thing. Oh, I was going to mention John Green's book club, but I haven't really looked into it. It would be kind of cool if we did that as a challenge at some point.
Word.
So remind me about that. But I was going to mention... Oh, shit. I also need to mention that Serial Season 3 is out. And
oh, yeah.
It's good.
Oh, it's so good.
And it's about the Cleveland Justice Department and Police Department and the people around Cleveland and how Cleveland... It's just depressing.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And there's an episode in there that I sent to you, Dylan,
mm-hmm.
that like I listened to on my drive back from work and like
terrible
I just
idea.
Cried. I just cried.
Yeah.
Like that was I don't know if I guess I can give the beginning away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this case where So Sarah Koenig is going around. So Sarah Koenig from original Serial season 1-2, one was about a nod. They thought he killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, according to the Justice Department, he did kill his girlfriend. 2 was about Bergdahl and his
mm-hmm.
case. And then 3 is about Cleveland Justice Department, which she chose because they let her record in the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
In the courtroom, and that Cleveland has some of the highest bouts of crime, Cleveland and surrounding areas.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
in the region basically. That episode that I think it's called "Please, Please, Please."
Yeah.
Something like that.
Please, baby, please.
Please, please, baby, please, please, as in P L E A E A S. And it's this, case where this family was driving down a street got shot up because
mm-hmm.
gang members thought it was a different car.
The only difference being this car didn't have tinted windows, and the one
right.
they were looking for did have tinted windows.
Right, and so they shot, and a couple shots went through the car, but the only shot that actually got somebody killed a
four-month-old
oh my God.
Girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, yeah, it's a heartbreaking episode. So they, and, you know, they get somebody on it, but... It's somebody that when they come back to the father, they come back to the father afterward, the father says he knows he didn't do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
this isn't a guy that would do that. Like,
and he knows exactly who did it as well.
And he knows exactly who did it. And And yeah, it just had me crying. And then there's like a second part of that too. And but
it
that
has first been
episode, like it's a very emotional.
It's been a really emotional season as well, and like just especially hearing about the shit that's going on in East Cleveland, not to be confused with the east side of Cleveland, but the actual city of East Cleveland, and like all of the civil rights abuses that they've been getting away with,
and then
people bring lawsuits and they will win, but the city's too broke to pay. Right. So
the city comes back with the excuse that they're too broke to pay, so they're not going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, well, we'll give you this plea deal. And they're like, no, we won outright. Like, where's our money?
Yeah. Oh, and on a slightly cheerier but also not at all cheerier note, our friends over at Cards Against Humanity, I was going to send the link. I mean, the site still looks rad as fuck, but they're sold out. I'm glad I bought like a shit ton of them. But so people at Cards Against Humanity built a website called voteworms.com.
Okay.
And I'll read you this bit. All caps. Oh God, please vote. This Halloween, yes. Be the scariest house on the block by reminding your neighbors of the impending collapse of our nation's political system. When they say trick or treat, give them a bag of Cards Against Humanity's Remember to Vote Worms. These creepy crawly treats will slither their way into your heart with five empowering flavors. Oh, due process cherry, rule of law lemon lime, separation of church and grape. Give me liberty or give me blueberry, and our political system is backsliding into authoritarianism mango. Buy a 12-pack for $8.95 and do your part to save democracy, please. Oh, God.
Yeah, I feel that heavily. Goodness.
That is amazing. I love them.
That's very good. Though I did see a great Hard Times article written by another friend of mine, actually, a Columbus comedian, Dustin Meadows.
Yeah.
He wrote an article, Cards Against Humanity Shoves Magic the Gathering into Locker.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. They asked him why he did it, and he just says, like, a Cards Against Humanity card. It's really good.
All right, fellas. Who's ready for a break? I think I am.
Yeah,
time to take a little break.
All right, let's move on. Before part two, sign this waiver. Initial here, here, and here. Okay, then. I'm Kiefer Sutherland meets Alice in Wonderland, stumbling onto constructs non-functioning, oft grumbling.
What's going on?
Oh, we were just trying to figure out some alternative logistics.
Got you.
Audio whatnot. But yeah, I'm ready for the second phase if y'all are.
Hell yeah.
Second part, and I didn't even talk about how Megyn Kelly sucks.
Megyn Kelly is bad at being a person.
She's just bad at being a person.
Should be shot by an African-American person. Boom. That would be fun for me, personally. But, you know, hey, no, I don't advocate violence unless it's against people that I don't personally like or beat up. And but that's not a lot of people, honestly.
And if I'm running for political office in, like, 15, 20 years, I'm distancing myself from that comment that any harm should come to another person.
I think we should punch Nazis on the daily.
But, yeah, we should punch Nazis.
I want to shit in Nazis' mouths, but not in a sexual way. Just I want them to eat my poop, because that's the kind of attitude that they have.
You want to do it, but you don't want to go full doodler on them.
No, that's what the I'm dude saying. Learned. I ain't Cameron with the pee on one movie. I don't really want to. I can't co-sign that.
Oh man,
first part was pretty swinging, guys.
Yeah, I would say so.
I felt good about it.
Got a lot of talk about a lot of topical topics.
So time to put the serious journalist cap on and go. Who is Blade Runner 3049?
Ah, yes.
And tell me a little bit about yourself, Peter Velarde, and what's and whatnot.
You mean so you mean about the Blade Runner 3049 campaign then? Okay. Right.
I will intro your thing because I did a shitty job of that. Blade Runner 3049,
hosted by Research Anderson,
is a new mixtape. from MC Freeman, name of AKA me. Peter Velarde.
Yep.
He is in the basement studio here in, is it sunny outside?
It is overcast, and rainy.
Overcasty Dublin, Ohio.
It's looking like London out there.
And he's our first guest, and he's gonna explain what the hell is going on or was going on with Blade Runner 3049.
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, many shouts out to y'all because you two have been very vocal and proponent admirers of the tape, shouting it out on here. And in other means, I know Devin wrote a very detailed and nice review on his website, devinnava.com.
It's a good tape.
Yeah, it was a really great time. I'm always really glad to experiment, of course. And I had experimentation in mind when I started this project. I don't know, as you've noticed, and I know you made a point of mentioning this in your review, Devin, MC Freeman, the project, has changed. The nature of the project changes quite a lot over the years. The reason I like that, MC Freeman, I realize, is a very general name. It's a it implies like an avatar or a cipher. And so that was a real starting point for me. And you can see in the artwork, too, of the various tapes. Like, Shy Guy is just a picture of me, slightly edited. And then later on, like, Paper Hydro is like a deconstruction of images. And so it's basically been kind of an experimental way of looking at the self and self-image. In addition to trying to present something that would be valid in the context of modern hip hop, because I love that shit.
Right.
The reason I make hip hop above all is because I love it as a musical genre, and I'm talking all facets. Like, there was a while there for a really long time where I was doing a lot of auto-tune vocal effects. I do some on this tape too, but I don't know, playing different. I've always been obsessed with the idea of MC Freeman and what it means to be MC Freeman changing over the years. Like, the MC Freeman that played at your graduation party is not the same MC Freeman that you saw at 96 East, is not the same MC Freeman you saw at the Ferry Garden.
My graduation party was 6 years ago.
Oh, so it was a crazy time. I signed people's bodies. I gave out CD singles.
It was crazy.
I wore a terrible headband. There's pictures of it.
My kid, nieces, and nephews were all dancing.
Oh, it was great.
It was great. It was a great
time. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A whole lot of people
enthusiastic. When I think of MC Freeman at that time, I think of Shy Guy, which is
the original tape. That ain't even on the Bandcamp no more. You got to find that on DatPiff if you want that.
Yeah, it's very clean and I don't know, very .
Oh yeah, I didn't engineer that at all. Yeah, I didn't know how to do
that. Not engineered, but just sampled.
Right. And then obviously there's the Twisted Kids records too, the old records,
right?
Which were engineered by us, which is why they sound so raw, you know?
Right.
Which is part of the fun, I think. And we are still working on a new Twisted Kids record. Good. Don't get it twisted. Twisted Kids Stole Hanukkah, which is the name of the record. It is coming.
Yeah, for you who don't know,
not on Hanukkah, but it is coming.
Twisted Kids is a project that Peter does with
Pathos,
Jacob
Midkiff, another good friend of the show.
Pathos, yeah. And I also wrote a glowing review of Pathos'
Rhetoric. A great, great tape. I'm on that.
Yeah. These guys are making music out here.
Oh, yeah. But in any case, so when I was getting kind of tired of the auto-tune style that I was doing, the party hits.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really live in that context anymore. I'm also thinking soon I'm going to be moving out to East Lansing, Michigan.
Right.
And making a new life with some good friends of mine. And so when that started, I was really interested in completely taking the chance to use this last bit of time that I have in Columbus to make something really unusual that I might not otherwise make.
Right.
And so that was kind of my mental starting point, for the process of it. And then I eventually settled on Blade Runner 3049 because it was just a terrible pun. I'd wanted to make a mixtape.
Pretty bad.
I'd wanted to make a mixtape for some time, and I thought it would be hilarious if I made a mixtape called that. And eventually, Research Anderson had some great ideas for a mixtape as well, because I'd expressed interest in doing that. Like, he said I should rap on this Baroness song, which actually ended up becoming the intro to the tape.
Nice.
I rap on Fugue by Baroness from their album Purple, which was the recommendation of Research Anderson long before the tape ever came to fruition. So I kind of knew I wanted to do a classic style rap mixtape, because I'd never really done that.
Right.
Shy Guy was classic, but I wanted something with skits and foolishness. Right. Skits and foolishness are so fun.
It's very party.
And I did that a lot on Twisted Kids records, but I'd never really done that on my MC Freeman solo records. Had always been a bit a bit more straight-laced in terms of like a pop context, and so I wanted to execute something that was a little weirder and gnarlier.
Well, I was gonna say, like, the thing that struck me about the new project is that it doesn't, you know, like, there are moments on there, and you know, I wrote a little paragraph in there about like, you know, sometimes it's not for me, but there are some moments on there where it's just like, it's just a really great, I don't know, really, really great correspondence between you and research and like the whole flow of the album.
Oh,
and,
absolutely. Yeah.
And then like the actual narrative getting inserted into the album is,
right.
is really
great.
Right.
That was kind of an improvisational choice.
Right.
The narrative originally was intended to be something totally separate from the album, but it kind of just wormed its way in. It was pretty fun. I basically started out with that, like, I found that @BlazeRunner3049 was not taken on Twitter, and I went, oh, cool. So I grabbed
right.
it,
right.
and then I ended up, basically anytime you see me tweeting at my, like, BlazeRunner3049 tweeting or messaging somebody, that's me, and I'm also on Twitter in my other window.
Right.
So I'm just faded with, like, two Twitter windows open, just tweeting DMing myself and DMing myself back and like screenshotting the conversations, perhaps to an abnormal extent. See, because the thing is, I was really inspired by a lot of like internet horror. I feel like that's a really new wave. And I'm not just talking about like Unfriended movies or like stuff like that. Yeah. The conceit of like a webcam horror movie is pretty fascinating, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I was more focused on like a lot of like the old like forum, like internet
creepy
forum
pasta.
Horror, like
hell yeah, creepypasta, or like that like old school fucking found footage, like Marble Hornets and that sort of shit.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I've been watching a lot of Nightmind. I know you.
Hell
know
yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching a ton of Nightmind, particularly. I kind of got there because I was looking at the work of Alan Resnick, and Nightmind has a really nice, some really nice videos on the work of Alan Resnick. Alan Resnick was a major inspiration because he had that kind of that project. This House Has People in It.
Yep.
Y'all know about
that?
That really fascinating and horrifying, like vintage tech, multimedia, interactive experience thing. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of doing something like that on a really small scale because I'd never seen it. I've seen people do that in various media and way cooler, you know, and way more budget. But I had never seen anybody do something that ornate to promote, of all things, some dumb mixtape for free on Bandcamp, you know.
Just for the idea challenge, we should pick out some creepypasta or
ARGs. Hell yeah.
Yeah, creepypasta and ARGs. And I warn y'all, I know my creepypasta and ARGs. I hang out a lot on the internet. I had a great time building that narrative because I was really, in addition to that, I was really concerned with the believability. So I started it a couple weeks before. The best part is the story of Blaze Runner 3049 parallels an actual marketing campaign, which is like, in retrospect, that's totally what it is. Like, and there were some people who guessed it from the beginning, and I was still happy with that because, I mean, they still knew that they were going to, they just didn't know how it was going to play out, you know?
Right.
But I had a lot of fun with, I don't know, staging the Twitter scenes. Like, I would always do it very organically, never memorize any lines or anything like that.
Right.
I would never plan anything when going in. I would just kind of start typing, and I wanted it to evolve naturally.
Oh, I was
going
to ask you, so you read my review. Did my paragraph give you justice for your narrative? Because
Sure.
I like to think I got it.
Okay,
but
for the sake of the audience, because I'm sure there are many who are not familiar with the tape, I'm going to go ahead and run y'all through my story brief. Originally, I wrote that intending for no one to read it. Because I kind of more as like a mental map for how I wanted the story to proceed, but I ended up reading it and I was like, you know, honestly, this is a really good explanation for the story as a whole, and also kind of a weird plot summary for people who aren't familiar to get in the headspace of the tape. So I ended up using it. But in any case, basically the plot line is, in the future, in 3049, for some reason there was a tearing in the fabric of time, and in this timeline, and it's the future, it's the year 3049, and the idea is that society is basically structured around worship of a religious icon named MC Freeman. And because the reason MC Freeman is venerated, at least as a god or demigod, at least among the members of society, is because the texts of MC Freeman are, for some reason, the only remaining recorded texts from pre-2099.
Okay.
So the idea is that MC Freeman is the oldest. The music of MC Freeman is the oldest living document still currently available in the timeline. And nobody knows why. Most people have forgotten and don't care because, you know, by this time, time travel has existed for a long time and time paradox are starting to pop up because people are misusing time travel, which I believe will happen if time travel gets invented. People will wake up and life is totally different than it was because of some weird time thing we don't even know about. Things could change mid-conversation. It's some real surrealism. I thought about it a lot because I've been getting faded and watching time travel movies for quite a bit of time. Just off evil percentage beers and things like that, right? Various whatnots or something. In any case,
talk about a little. So you kind of like set the stage, but future MC Freeman meets past MC Freeman.
Yes, and this is the thing is this is actually revealed on another song, but on Weyland Yutani. But the new MC Freeman, aka at BlazeRunner 3049, is the reason for the tearing in the fabric of time.
Yeah.
Like
that's what
like,
I get.
What happens is one day the old like since MC Freeman the title
spoiler,
of MC
spoiler
Freeman
spoiler warning
is,
for the yes, tape, I guess.
I guess so, but it's been out. Y'all know about it. So look, kids are coming here for the behind the scenes anyway.
Right.
So yeah, the whole idea is that in 3049, the newest MC Freeman is the same age as me, and lives in the future, born in 3025. He was the first. The idea is the first child born after the death of the old MC Freeman is the new MC Freeman.
Right.
And he is raised out in the waste, and the child is raised out in the wasteland by the elders and trained in the ways of MC Freeman. obviously there have been female, non-binary, every type of person you can imagine. Right. There has been an MC Freeman because it's been thousands and thousands of years. But in any case, the new MC Freeman, who looks awful a lot like the old MC Freeman, though he doesn't know it.
Right.
He sees a rift in time appear. Now, these are fairly normal. They can be in my imagination, at least, I was thinking, like, these could be easily generated. Like, these are normal parts of life. But this rift is different because it shows a world older than this MC Freeman has ever seen. And he sees someone, and he's like, oh, my God, that's MC Freeman. Or yeah, exactly. And he knows it's MC Freeman in the world of the past. And so he's like, okay, well, obviously I have to go back in time to figure out what happened, to figure out the past.
Right.
He's like, I'm MC Freeman. I got to be MC Freeman. So the whole premise is that he then comes out into 2018 from the portal, through the rift, into 3049, and then into 2018, and starts tweeting as BlazeRunner 3049, where is MC Freeman? Looking for MC Freeman.
Right.
And I figured I would have him tweet at my friends. The best part about all this is that this is such good promotion. Basically, you just make a fake Twitter and have it tweet about it constantly like it's obsessed with you.
Yeah.
Like retweeting all your content, following people and retweeting people who talk about you.
Right.
Like, and at first it's like, oh, that's some weird press promo stuff. And of course it is. But the weirder you make that person act, the more people can think it's a weird thing. Because people are inclined to believe, I think, that you could run into some crazy psycho on the internet. And you're absolutely...
Oh, yeah.
There absolutely could be like the equivalent of like some Craigslist killer types, and you know who's to say somebody wouldn't make a fake Twitter to harass.
So yeah, I was saying that my mom has known you for what 7 years now.
Yes,
and she was like, so what's going on with Peter?
Right. I was very surprised.
Nah, Mom, that's just a marketing campaign. He's okay.
Right. I would literally just be up late at night DMing myself off one Twitter and then replying on the other.
I mean, maybe you're going to divulge into this at some point pretty here soon, but you were making, like, these webcam videos, like, late at night, like, 3 or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And, like, talking to the camera and just becoming crazy.
Right. Well, I have an iPhone. That's the other thing. I finally got an iPhone. I haven't transferred my service over to it yet. I'm still rocking the burner phone.
Okay.
But I'm about to, before my move. That's the last big move, is my consciousness is going to go onto the iPhone. So I've been experimenting a lot lately with going live and doing things like that. And so that was the fun thing, was that I recorded all those videos just live direct to Facebook. I never planned anything beyond vague, like, structure of, like, what I wanted to happen. I just wanted it to evolve naturally, like, the stakes increasing as you go. Like, first BlazeRunner 3049 is tweeting at all my friends, and then people would send me messages like, who is this? you know, and then I would tweet those, you know, like I was trying to investigate the whole thing.
Right.
I think I actually really did psych myself out. Like that night shoot, that night video, right, where I pretend I like it was night and I printed off the photos, which are all stills from various films Big Vin Vader worked on, including that skull still,
right,
which I couldn't have planned it better, but that ended up being one of the thumbnails I could pick on YouTube, and I was like, that one, obviously. So I was stunned that it worked out that well. But, you know, those are weird images. So I printed them out, and I put them on my doorstep, and then I turned off all the lights in my house, and I went downstairs, and then I went live to Facebook and acted really scared.
Nice.
And all the lights were off, so it was, like, really scary. I wanted it to be plausible. Like, I was going on Facebook because I needed companionship, you know, because I was scared, you know? And so I just scared the shit out of myself. Like, these past couple weeks, I've been, like, kind of in that, like, noided mindset. I really started to get kind of crazy there toward the end.
Right.
Like, it was nuts. Like, and people were, and I was, like, getting more emotionally ragged. I even, like, blew up on some people, which I'm really sorry about. But I pretended not to, know, like, what was going on. And so did Jacob and Devin and you, obviously.
Yeah.
We were all kind of having our cards going. Of course, everybody who was close to me was immediately I can't wait to see how this plays.
Yeah.
But like, a lot of people who didn't really know me or, like, the friends of friends, they were all like, yo, what's going on? Because, like, some of them thought I was legitimately, like, losing my mind. Like, I was, like, or, like I had MPD.
I got in on it. I posted at you. I'm like, this dude's from the future. Man, he's wilding. Like, this is no way. There's no way.
And you have to make it seem
confront
silly.
Confront him.
That's the best part. Like, I wanted it at the beginning to seem like it was some very silly and very likely internet shenanigans. Just like I wasn't concerned about the whole thing. Right. And then gradually just get more and more, like, focused in on it and, like, only be talking about that. And it was wild because I came up with some great tweets that I forgot because I couldn't tweet them.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, I need to be only obsessed with the Blaze Runner shit. Like, I was in character.
And then we mentioned you on our shitty podcast, and then and we tweeted it out, like, or I think I tweeted it
like,
out.
What, like, what's going
like,
on with
the new MC Freeman, like Blaze Runner 3049 and MC Freeman should come onto the podcast.
Right, and talk it all out. Which I guess is happening right now, because we are the same person. And that's the ending, because a lot of people have come and asked me, like what exactly happened at the end of the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to clear up some confusion that some people have. So what happens at the end of the story, because I changed my tune, because first, I'm like, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm being stalked. It's really weird. But then the idea is that Blaze Runner 3049 builds a time rift to convince MC Freeman. He's like, look, you don't believe me when you say I'm from the future. Here's the time rift. Basically, the idea is that he shows me proof that I can't question. And he shows me, like, we've already, like, I was like, I know you're going to come meet me because we've already met.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. And it's not even plausible that I would go to a random address, like coordinates somewhere to meet somebody, which is the point at which I would certainly hope people would be like, okay, this is bullshit.
Right.
But there were actually some people who still believed it. They were like, you got to go with a friend, dude. Like, that's
fucked up.
And I thought there were plans to actually go out there because that is close to the address of Vince's uncle's farm,
right,
which is where he shot some stuff. He has shot stuff in the past, including, like, material that we got the other stills from.
Okay.
So, and that was the fake video he sent me in the fake email. But the whole idea was that I pretended to go out to this location and there was a time rift. And obviously it's explained in the song Icy Icy that we meet, that the MC Freemans meet, and then old MC Freeman vanishes. The premise is that the old MC Freeman is now in the future in 3049 and obviously venerated as a god, like, come back to Earth, because that's exactly what happened, thereby creating inadvertently the religion of MC Freeman.
I love the playoff dynamic in Icy Icy with the, like, the verses.
The chorus was actually recorded before the mixtape was even a mixtape, and before I got the idea. So I was like, this is old MC Freeman material.
Right.
And we were originally going to cut it, but I was like, I might do some, like, no trend type, like, foolish spoken word on top of it, trying to explain the plot. And right. so it kind of, so in the process, it kind of sucks you into this plot. I like, because you can totally listen to the mixtape and have no idea about the subplot and just listen to Icy Icy and be like, whoa,
that's MC Freeman yeah.
on some weird shit.
Yeah.
yeah, and you can do that. But like, once you read the whole story, it's like very satisfying. And you can see in one of the last messages that Blaze Runner sends MC Freeman, he sends him the link to Icy Icy.
Right.
It's like a clue, you know, right. like you mm-hmm. should look at that. Like, this is us meeting. And yeah. it was so fun. Like I like, and the idea is that I went into the Rift, and now the new MC Freeman has replaced me in the timeline. So I am MC Freeman right. from the future.
Right.
And this is my, and then Blaze Runner 3049 is the first mixtape of the future MC Freeman, which is kind of like a metaphor for the way I like to like reset my sound and style every so often, and right. like try to totally change it up.
Well,
and
I said,
this
like,
was just a weird opportunity. To change
like
it
after
up.
Listening to the mixtape, I was like, you should just come out with like 4049 and 5049.
Oh my god, just keep going in the future.
Keep on going in the future.
Oh yeah. Man. I think the timeline has had enough stress placed yeah, on yeah. it. At least at this point.
Well, I mean, it's the same kind of series that like the Blue Chips Action Bronson.
Sure enough. Yeah. Like, and I'm glad you picked up on that, because that was definitely at least in terms of hip hop music, that was a major inspiration right. on the record. I was really inspired by a lot of non-hip-hop music, as well as all the internet stuff I talked about. But obviously, our big inspiration is Action Bronson. Of course, right. I listen to a lot of Action Bronson. And and you can actually look at some old reviews that we wrote for Devin's old blog that talked about Blue Chips and Blue Chips too. So we right. were really, really following that. And it's obviously Blue
yeah,
Chips.
You got
it was
me
great
on Blue
to see
Chips,
Blue
actually.
Chips. It was great to see Blue Chips 7000 too. I love that record.
I actually had that
over the
somewhere.
Fake old music and stuff.
I had
that
somewhere
so cool.
in this record crate. Blue Chips yeah. 7000.
And I mean, I've always thought Big Body Bess is just the funniest motherfucker.
Yeah.
Just all his ad libs.
Do you know these guys, Dylan?
No.
Big Body Bess is he's related yeah. to Action. He's like
he's in the, he might be. I'm not entirely sure right. on that. But Action Bronson is this great chef. And turned rapper from Queens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah.
He got injured, couldn't go back to his job, and just wrote raps and then like started like rapping.
Yeah, and that kind of became his job. But he's got like a cooking show now called Fuck That's Delicious.
Yeah,
which is really good.
He's basically like 40% of all Vice programming now. So.
Oh hell yeah!
It's awesome what he's been doing. Anyway, he has some mixtapes called Blue Chips with a producer Party Supplies. And then he has his boy, Big Body Bez, get on the track just to do, like, hype man shit.
Right.
Just, like, be yelling.
Right.
Like, just stepped in. But matter of fact, I just stepped out in a 96 Lincoln Town Car. You know?
Yeah.
shit like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And I just,
you know,
I look
fresh.
For that on every track. And it's what is more old school mixtape? Because that's the other thing. I was inspired by old school mixtape cultures
right.
with all the skits and stuff. And I was like, what better conceit for an old school mixtape than to have someone actually hosting the mixtape?
And I'm sure they're fucking like, they're inspired by like Snoop Dogg and like
yeah.
Eminem and
oh,
shit
absolutely.
Like that.
And there are versions of the tape that were previously available. Like I called it the Blaze Runner 3049 White Label Test Press, which was just all the songs without the Research Anderson bits added.
Okay.
But what fun is that?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you need all the skits. Like it's all fun. Like me and Big Sig talking about falafel, chopping it up. The funny story behind that is I tracked my verse, and then right afterwards, Big Sig comes down the stairs and picks up the falafel. We moved that to the beginning of the song because I didn't know what to put out, because we wanted to put Research in the outro.
And like,
but yeah, I just nailed the verse in one take, and then he came down and got his falafel, and we tracked that.
Tell him where that.
Oh, you have to. I had to shout out Pharaoh's Pizza and Stromboli. Y'all know what the hell it is. That place got the za. They got the wings.
Columbus has
cheap.
Some good food, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh.
And good cheap food too.
Oh,
that was,
yeah.
That was another thing at the Fairy Garden. I don't know if you remember that, Dylan, because you were kind of. Like,
I was fucking reckless.
Pretty reckless.
Oh yeah, like,
by, like
we get, 11 we get
or
reckless
whatever.
At Big Six House.
But I bought like $60 or $70 worth of PJs.
I had to say,
oh, shit.
And I do not mean this as a diss at all. I'm a huge fan of it. That is like the textbook definition of weird flex, but okay. Like y'all were falling out with the skinny boy platters. I was like, yo,
yeah.
gotta be
skinny
GB
boy platters. And then like before that, we basically got all the beer for the
that's
party.
What I'm saying.
So
like I was,
like,
oh yeah,
oh
like
God.
We fucked up. Y'all fucked up some commas on the MC Freeman
exactly.
show. And for that, I thank you.
Exactly.
Like y'all made that party twice as lit as it
yeah.
already was, and that's the destiny of a party.
Right.
Hell yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh yeah. Y'all obviously know Cali Dreamer. I know we talked about Bunny Love. Cali Dreamer was amazing.
Cali Dreamer.
Their album Dreamer is Unbreakable is available on SoundCloud. I also got the WAV files. Cali got the WAV files too. DM them. They'll shoot them at you.
I haven't looked at that.
Very, very good. I will send it to you. It's one of the best underground rap projects of the year.
Yeah.
This Tatum EP is about to come out too. Yeah, I know y'all know about Tatum.
So good.
Oh yeah, Tatum is incredible. I don't know. The Fluids record is kind of in limbo right now. We're on hiatus. That's me, Research, and Tatum are all in that band, along with Felix from Queer Kevin, and we are certain. And I believe we have found a replacement drummer, but don't quote me on that. In any case, we are currently taking a break, but we are chilling and vibing, and might play some shows later. So who should say?
Oh yeah,
y'all need. Also, as long as we're still doing plugs and shouts out, obviously shouts out Big Sig, shout out the Fairy Garden, and obviously a ton of love to Research Anderson for his new project, Princess Whatever.
Hell yeah.
Which is a crazy alternative underground rock record.
Right.
Some real skronky hits. They're going to be playing on Election Day at the Fairy Garden, along with Phones and American Spirits, which I believe are both from Bowling Green. Yeah, Princess Whatever live band is going to be nuts. That boy Vince from Brian Wilson. Big Vin Vader is drumming.
Right.
We might have a very, very special guest on the bass, not me, I promise, but that would be a little too special, perhaps. This other guest is way sicker, though, believe me. I don't want to reveal because he might not be there, but if he is there, wow, that's sick.
While we're doing shout-outs, I want to say shout-out because we were talking a lot about food. Like, the last, I don't know if you listened to it, the last, like, 20 minutes of our last episode was about food in Columbus.
Oh, there's so much good food.
Food around the Columbus area.
I could sound off about some of that.
Shout out to Lavash Cafe.
Oh, I know about Lavash.
That place is awesome.
Bangers.
We actually got our dog from there.
Hey.
If you can believe it. not as weird as it sounds, but one of the chefs there had their sister was staying with them, and they had to give up the dog.
Right.
My mom responded to that, and then she played around with her for a bit, and took her home for a day, and was like, okay, we're keeping her.
Okay, I like where this story went. I was definitely thinking, like, oh shit, there's some extra chewy bits in my pho. What the fuck's going on? Is this the tray?
Lavash Cafe is Middle Eastern.
Got you.
Mediterranean.
Yeah.
I believe.
Okay,
I'm
word.
But,
yeah, that's really good. That's off High Street. Have y'all ever been to Hoang Vietnamese restaurant?
Yo. No. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Dylan has. Yes. Excellent. Oh, Hoang is
Dylan's on some
so
Vietnamese kick
good.
Right now. So.
That's the real shit. You need that. That place is the most vaporwave spot in the whole world.
Yeah.
You go in there with the little old TV playing the old music videos. They got crazy stuff on the wall like it used to be, like a Mexican restaurant. Oh, it's nuts. And they got the finest banh mi.
Oh my God!
The finest sandwich in all the city is the banh mi at Hoang. Oh God, it's next level. The pho is crazy. They got the salted lemonade. My God, you need that in your life.
We should just like take the show on the road and do like a Columbus like food tour.
There is so much foodie stuff you could do.
It'd be great.
I mean, shit, across the street from that, you got the Saraga International Grocery Store. You know that's the spot to get your groceries.
Yeah,
look at that Momo Gar, the dumpling spot in there. That's Fieri approved. What y'all know about that?
Amazing. Yeah, no, I think I said last time, Bharati from India, they got a franchise just down the block from me.
Nice. See, y'all always hear that Todka, too.
Yeah.
Todka's a slapper. One time, me and Research went to the buffet, and we got there at 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Only ones there. All the food was fresh, and we were so faded, and we were like, man.
Yeah.
First,
being at a theme park, man, it was crazy. You guys do dim sum?
Yeah, I have dim sum.
Yeah,
you know that sunflower.
Good.
That
sunflower is
dim sum.
Super good.
That's where it's at. My best friend, my best friend's dad is a lawyer who originally grew up in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
and he is an immigration lawyer. Actually, he got a lot of the employees, I guess, at Sunflower, and various restaurants around town. He got them legally into his country. Yeah,
hell yeah.
So,
nice.
Yeah, so when I go to restaurants with him and his family,
they get treated
it's like royalty, like by all these goons come out to like pay their respects. It's awesome.
That's cool.
We get really good deals in the dim sum. Oh
yeah,
it's the best. Yeah, sunflower dim sum.
And then
sunflower
has that authentic Chinese menu. all that.
Top tier shit.
And I was saying, I think I told Dylan, like, she come out to Los Gauchos.
Oh, Los Guachos. Yeah, I just passed that. That on my way here. I was thinking about hitting it on my way back.
It's super good. They're about to get a bar in there too.
Oh fantastic. To fuck up check.
Yeah.
On that Alpha
margarita nights and those tacos.
Y'all need those fish tacos. I don't know if y'all tried the fish tacos.
Tacos.
That's Mom the deepest cut the there. Tacos, yeah. That's I always get the fish tacos.
I got you get have you ever get adventurous and try that lamb cheek, man?
Ooh, I'm about to. That sounds good, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What y'all know about Exotic Latino Grill up by High and Hudson? That's what you need.
Exotic Latino.
It's a chill little food truck. It's out over by the 14-0 liquor store off Hudson. That's where you want to be. It's like Hudson Indianola type corner area near the UDF.
Last time me and Dylan ate together, I took him to Fukiyuru Ramen.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I had I had the soft shell crab bun.
Oof.
Amazing. He had some of that traditional ramen.
What y'all know about that? What y'all know about that? I believe it's called Bonsai now, and it's in Upper Arlington, but it was formerly known as Japanese Oriental Restaurant.
Oh yeah.
What y'all know about that spot?
Oh, I've never heard of it. Tell me about it. Tell me more.
See, Big Sig is really the major. He can tell you a lot more about it than I can, but Japanese Oriental Restaurant is luxurious. Like, that's some real... You take a date there, spend $80, $100 easy. But it's all worth it. Like, you get some intense sushi at that spot. Some really, really good nigiri.
Oh, yeah.
They got some really good soups there, too. I mean, basically, anything you get there is going to be delicious. Anyway, they moved to, like, an Upper Arlington location, but I guess they are reopening the Columbus location in a new spot.
Oh, so,
all love to them. I will definitely be patronizing that restaurant again when it returns to
the
North
area. What
do you
guys know about Korean barbecue?
Oh, I know about that Korean barbecue.
Oh, damn.
It's, like, the best things known to man.
Did y'all hit that spot up? That spot up by
I'm trying to think of the name.
Goji.
That's
a great spot. Yeah, you can now fuck up a check there too.
Mm. It's freaking great, and you can have that. Not sake, but soju.
Yes,
soju. I need to get me some soju.
Drinking that soju and having that rare steak, man.
Yeah, Fucking at yourself. Good. That's what it's all about.
Yo, fucking soju takes stripes like no business in Korea, y'all.
Soju is like, it goes down really, really smooth, and then before you know it, you're fucked up.
I love that. I love that about anything.
And they just, like, serve it to you in, like, these, like, really tall plastic bottles, and they're just like, drink the whole thing right now. Do it, Howard.
But while cooking your food, before you've eaten, you gotta get drunk.
So fucking in there's two Air Force bases in Korea. There's Osan, which is further south from the DMZ, and then there's Kunsan, which is closer to the north, and you're not allowed to have dependents there. So in Kunsan, they got these place called Hooches, which every squadron has their own bar on base. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And, like, the fucking wing commander, like, top dog of the whole base will come out to your hooch and buy you a drink. People will be pouring soju in your beer because the first 2 weeks you're there, you're not allowed to drink. And so once those 2 weeks are up, they call it turning 21 and everyone gets you fucking hammered.
That's amazing.
That sounds so fun.
Oh, my God. It's like nothing else. And as long as we're plugging in food spots, and I'm going to sound lame as fuck, but what y'all know about Saigon Baguette out in Columbus?
Saigon Baguette.
I have not heard of that. What is that about?
Oh, my God, y'all. So that is my number one spot in Columbus. I've been to almost all of them now.
Yeah, you've been, like, knocking them down.
And the Huang Pho, by the way. I know we talked about Huang, but the Huang Pho fire. I'm definitely interested to try this.
Saigon
if you say
Baguette.
This is better, I will absolutely sample this work.
All right, so it's run by this super old Vietnamese lady. Her name's Lynn. She is so sweet. It's like her and like her family run the spot. Like the 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid takes your order and then runs in the back. It's great.
Right.
It's authentic.
Right.
And oh my God. Like, so that was the first place here in Columbus I went to get pho, and that's the one place I consistently go back to because it's like 5 minutes away from my work. And when I was going around, I started to notice, like, pho's always going to be good, but you're going to know when it's going to be fucking transcendent when you got the family working in there and not like a bunch of like white like high school students working at 6-1 pho, which not to call them out, but it's trash. 6-1 pho is bad.
I can't get down with that. I can't get down with any Ohio pho jokes.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Saigon, like, okay. It's not the same place that I thought you were talking about. Mm. I was last week I was talking about this place called China Jade, but they sound very similar. It's just like this old lady that, like, is peeling vegetables in her kitchen, basically. Mm-hmm. And you're just, like, walking in.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, yeah, you want pho now? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I do. And you want rare beef? Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yup, I Thank would you. Like it all.
Thank
yeah.
you. You want me to pile on these vegetables? Yeah. Yes, please.
Yes.
Give I love the more homey sprouts. Restaurants. Those are always so fun. Like, what y'all know about Indian Kitchen on the corner of High and Patterson?
I don't know anything about that.
Wow, oh, wow. Yeah. Let me tell you about that for real quick. That boy Kumar, who lives in there, he's the legend. We've dined there many a time. Back when we lived in the 1960s, we used to go there 2-3 nights a week. It's so expensive. So we were on some real, like, fuck up a check, like, Old North right. type shit. Mm-hmm. But, like, really, though, it's so good. Like, the aloo gobi is, like, which is always my go-to. It's so intense.
Don't you have a rhyme about aloo gobi?
Oh, absolutely. I have another. I had that aloo gobi voice memo freestyle on SoundCloud talking about aloo gobi because I made a beat called aloo gobi. I'm trying to give that to somebody. Probably revisit
You're just
or
trying to
take
spread
it.
The word of aloo gobi, man.
I mean, I love it. Yeah, research got me into aloo gobi. It's phenomenal. It's just cauliflower and potatoes and sauce with the naan and the rice. That's all you need, my dog.
What you guys know about Munchquad?
Exactly. I mean, that tends to be the format of my discussion. Yo, what about
I
melt,
want a
though?
Munch Squad.
What about melt though?
Melt.
Y'all melt. Like melt?
Melt? Oh, is that the grilled cheese spot?
Yes, it is.
Yo.
But it's not just the grilled cheese spot.
Oh
it's
my
an
god,
everything spot.
I can't tell you how many crazy sandwiches I've gotten from melt.
You have a huge sandwich, and you just have a huge beer. And you're just like,
you can get a KBS at Melt. That'll put you in the grave. Me and Research was at Melt. He was drinking the KBS. I had to whip. I mean, I was like, yeah, no way.
Menu printed on these vinyl record cases.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they do that anymore. Actually.
Oh, yeah?
I think they're getting too big.
Oh, really?
But that's okay. I mean, there's only so many actual vinyl records. Not in you.
Yeah, what's the other? They don't. They have one in Columbus, they got one in East End.
I tend to go to the East End one. That tends to be my go-to. Just, you know, better chances of getting.
Yeah, we used to have to go down to Cleveland to do that, but now
that's the truth. We are very lucky.
Oh,
that cowabunga with the pizza rolls. Oh,
I was
going to
say,
incredible.
You guys know about Las Mamacitas on North 4th Street?
I am not familiar.
It is fucking wild. So, tacos, enchiladas, all of the good Mexican food. Mm. But their margaritas are killer.
Oh yeah, it's always the margaritas.
They got the sangria and they got the margaritas. And
hell yes.
They got the cucumber margaritas. Woo. And they got the pineapple margarita.
Was that place by y'all know Casa Hacienda off 161?
Nah,
that is a fucking spot right there. It's like some wild ass Tex-Mex. Type business,
y'all.
Really,
y'all
really
know.
Good. It's like a labyrinth in there when you go in there. I mean, you'll see what I mean if you roll up. It's a big building right off 161. You can't miss it.
How many minutes has this segment been? Like 15 minutes.
Listen, if you're listening and you don't know all these spots, like, we just blessed you with knowledge.
Columbus food spots got as much time as your segment.
That's what I'm saying, and they deserve it. The food is so good.
Yo, 100%.
It is very good.
I could eat it right up.
But we seriously need to button this up, though, because I'm about to turn into Alex Cox and start eating some paper, because I'm so goddamn hungry.
Oh, that's the truth. I know your boy about to fuck up a hamburger.
Oh, well, yeah. Got some gachos.
Guacho.
Some guacho goodness.
Oh, yeah. No, man, the fresh green salsa in there.
Yes.
Killer.
Yes.
And the habanero.
Can't beat it.
Super good. They got the pineapple and onion salsa with the habanero.
That's what's up.
That's great.
I really
okay.
Like that.
Let's button
Food,
this up.
Yes.
Where can people find you, Dylan?
All right, so I've got obviously the site we host this podcast on. It's masthead.tech, and I have my own website that I sometimes put shit on, but most of the times don't. It's dylanbickers.com. Really surprised that wasn't taken.
You'll get back into it.
You also can find me on the toots on the Twitter at Dylan Bickers and
What about you, Devin? Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Devin Nava. I also have a site, devinnava.com. I wrote this fool's review, and I gave it It's pretty glowing. It's pretty glowing. It's pretty great. People gave me some comments on it at the some praise on it at the Fairy Garden.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which I really really enjoyed. Yeah. So.
What about you, Peter?
I always went up to the masthead.tech site.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I am at many locations. You can find me on the internet, in real life,
in the future.
Exactly. Exactly. My old self is currently in another century. It's very difficult to explain, but I think, I mean, hey, anyway, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me, I mean, mostly I'm Peter Velarde most places. I think kids know that MC Freeman is a subset of Peter Velarde by now. They got to. But, you know, you can find all the MC Freeman music on mcfreeman.bandcamp.com. You can hit up SoundCloud. You can even hit up some streaming services and there will be some songs. I do have plans to release singles from the mixtape that I have the rights to. Because, you know, some of those are remixes. I'm going to drop, like, Paul McCartney and Wayland Utani and stuff like that on Spotify real soon.
Nice.
But, yeah, you can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Google Play. I'm trying to figure out how to do that Pano shit with Neil Young. Yeah, I don't think that's a real website upload service, but I mean, if there's a way to get my music Pano compatible, it would be sick.
Like, what, 7 or 8 years ago talking about that stuff.
Oh, and yeah. Like, you know I'm trying to get my music on a Toblerone type player. It's real. It's
that
too
is
real.
What it looks like. Yep. Yeah, that's what I remember.
Talk about from the future.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I got all that on the internet. You can find me on YouTube, but that's just my name, Peter Velarde. You can also find music I've made under that name, including various film scores and whatnot. And shit, I don't know. You can usually catch me at the Fairy Garden or, like, the Pleasure Dome or maybe, like, at Leto's with the Dunes or, like, Old North Arcade or something. I mean, shit. Just as my friend Joe Cox once said, it's if you can just figure out my movements and go with the flow, you can anticipate where I will be.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That is why it is convincing that I could be stalked, because y'all always know where I'm at. Shouts out to kids for making it
I'm
easy
trying
for
to
me
look
to
for
be.
A funny
Please don't stalk
dude.
Me.
I can't find one.
OPSEC.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a funny Yahoo.
Oh, ooh, God, we got to get that final Yahoo.
Oh, scroll up. I think I saw a fun one. Let's see. Why do mainstream female artists spread their legs open a lot during videos and concerts? I think you already know the answer to
that
one.
That was great. All right. We'll see you 2 weeks from now, people. Bye.
I'm so happy to be on the show.
See
Peace,
you.
Y'all.
These kids think that I'm Paul McCartney because I'm dead. These kids think that I'm Paul McCartney because I'm dead. What you know about it? Nothing? Okay, let's get right into it. Conjuring ganja type spirits which I intuit. Ouija board Edison, echoing sentiments. Powdered sugar push, pound cake, entomans. Payback's a nice lady once you get to know her. Still I take hoes to church like hosier. Stash indulge in a hosiery. Stay composed in front of 12, I ain't sober G. Overly unimpressed with your mid-pack cess and your friends in the revenge you call success. All except one fell for it. He's in the forest with the chorus. I'm trying to run that shit back. These kids think that I'm Paul McCartney because I'm dead. Yeah, I like that. These kids think that I'm Paul McCartney because I'm dead. Alright, let's move on. Before part 2, sign this waiver. Initial here, here, and here. Okay then, I'm Kiefer Sutherland meets Alice in Wonderland. Stumbling onto constructs non-functioning. Oft grumbling, hip and hop mumbling. Something about Engelbert Humperdinck. Fuck is that? Nonsense, kid, fuck what you heard about. Two phones, one Freeman with the burner out. Newt Rockney, I'm shooting copies in the foyer of your GF's RV. MSRP, $1 trillion bills. Cash funding secured all around the world. No Oasis making bank statements. All blue marine, no tank and no spaceship. checkpoint with a double blue laser beam. Ask yourself, am I here because I paid to be? These kids think that I'm Paul McCartney because I'm dead. These kids think that I'm Paul McCartney because I'm dead. What you know about it?